according to St. John chapter 13. And when you get to chapter 13, please go with me to verse 23. The gospel according to St. John chapter 13 and verse 23 here. And when you get there, I'm reading from the King James version of the Bible, but we're going to read verse 23. Are you there? Amen. Hallelujah. But I want us to read together, and it reads, "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." You hear that? Let's read it again. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." We know that this year that we, as our theme for this year, is leaning on Jesus. Amen. My God, that is, I get excited every time I say it, Brother George. Leaning on Jesus. And this is our focus as we go into 2014 as a church and even as individuals. We want to have the attitude of gratitude. We want to ensure, amen, that our hearts are hearts that have decided to lean towards Jesus. Amen. Say, I'm leaning on Jesus. Amen. I want you to go to one other scripture here where we're going to be at. It's going to be our foundational text today. Go with me to the gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And when you get to chapter 11, come to verse 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. When you get to verse 28, we're going to read together through verse 30, and it reads, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Hallelujah. Look again, verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you," and somebody say, "learn of me." Amen. Today, we're going to teach from the subject of learning to lean. Somebody say, learning to lean. My God. If we're going to lean on Jesus, we got to learn how to lean. Amen. So we're going to, we ain't talking about the gangster lean. You know what I mean? No. Wait. Okay. That's not the lean we're talking about. Amen. Amen. But we're going to lean, amen, hallelujah, on Jesus. So we're going to be here for the better part of the day right here in this particular text. But I want to just give a quick pass and review on some things that we learned last week, because we started out this series of messages on leaning on Jesus. We talked about from the scripture that we read first over in John chapter 13, verse 23. We read the scripture again. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." Amen. And so we see here that we learned that this word leaning was an interesting word. It was a word that meant to recline. Somebody say recline. See, if you understand what was going on in the context of this, when John was leaning upon the disciple whom Jesus loved, was leaning upon Jesus. Jesus had just got through having Holy Communion with them, washing their feet. And now they're together, they're sitting and they're eating. And we know that this is the time in which Judas was going to betray him. And at this particular time, Jesus revealed that he knew who was going to betray him. And so when he revealed this particular thing, the Bible says all the disciples doubted. What they said, they doubted, who is such a person that would do this? But the Bible says Peter leaned over. Peter asked John, the disciple who was leaning on Jesus, whom Jesus loved. He asked John who it was, and then John asked Jesus. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is God loves all his disciples, amen. But leaning upon Jesus, John was the one that leaned upon Jesus. And I want you to say here is what we learned last week about John. John reciprocated, amen, and reflected the love that he received, amen, from the Son. Oh, my God. See, what I'm saying is someone that leans upon Jesus, first of all, the reason why he was leaning was because Jesus had already leaned towards them. And he didn't just lean towards John. He leaned towards all of them. He loved every one of them. Amen. Because we talked last week, he says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant, he said, but now I call you my friends. And now that you're my friends, I share with you everything the Father tells me, I'm going to tell you. Amen. But then he says, I give unto you another commandment. He said that you love one another. The disciples had a love problem, and it wasn't so much loving other people as it was loving one another. But what I'm saying to you is this, that John was the one that got the love walk down. John not only penned the book of John, the gospel of John, but he also penned the epistles of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And if you read them, all they talk about is love. Amen. Love one another. Love your brother. Amen. They talk about those things here. John is what we call the apostle of love. Amen. The apostle of love. And so we see that John, the what he had with him, he was one that reflected the love that he received, amen, from Jesus. And that's if we're going to be able to lean, amen, on Jesus like John did. We want to be people that see because the leaning has everything to do with the relationship. Somebody say that. The leaning has everything to do with the relationship. See, I just don't want to be here, but I want to be near. See, I just see all of them were there, but everybody wasn't near. It's just like all of us are here, but they're not near. Amen. Brother George, I need you to lean on Sister Deborah. Sister Deborah Logan. Not right where you're at. Lean on Sister Deborah. You can't lean. Right, what I'm saying, you can't lean on 7-Up. See, he's here, but he's not. He's here, but he's not near. You hear what I'm saying? That's the difference. All the disciples was in the place, but who was near? John was the one that was near. So you can be here, but you can't be near. And so you got to understand that when the presence of the Lord is here, you need to be near. Amen. You need to be near him. Amen. And so this is what this was about. He was reclining. He was the one that was sitting near. And because of the relationship that he had with Jesus, most folks try to say it was a perverted thing because it reads on down. He was laying upon his breast. Now, it didn't have to do it. It wasn't about being perverted as it had to do with the position and the place in which he was sitting next to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? He was sitting and he was leaning. That leaning is a reclining. He was lying. And they were all sitting down on the floor, sitting there in those what's called, and they all kind of lean. And he was the one leaning on Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, man, I don't know about you, but I want to lean on Jesus. Amen. I want to lean on Jesus. And this is what we're talking about here. Now, last week we talked about some of the characteristics. Again, this is going to be a drive-by. Some of the characteristics that we talked about the leaning, amen, about the disciple whom Jesus loved, amen. Now, you got to understand this. Jesus didn't say that. If you read that back over in John, John wrote that, amen. But John hid himself in the scriptures, amen. John said the one whom, he says some places, other places he says the other disciple. You know, he when you see John's writing, he always talk about them, then he talks about the other disciple. But there were some characteristics that we said about John. John was teachable. Somebody say teachable. Not only was he teachable, he was receptive. He was a believer. He believed everything that Jesus said. We proved this last week when they all, at the resurrection, when they all run down to the sepulcher there, and they looked in, the Bible says they both ran, and John outran Peter. He got there before he did, and John said, oh, I'm going to hold up. I'm going to let Peter, you go and look in. Peter looked in, didn't see anything. Then John came in there with him, and the Bible says that John, when he seen the napkin just laying there, says that John believed. See, what you got to understand, everybody else didn't believe. He had to tell Mary to tell them to go over to such and such, the Galilee. I'm going to meet them over in Galilee. And you know what happened? Jesus walked in the room. He walked, wrecked, slammed through the door on all of them, and he told them, you know, that he was in his glory. You know, this is me. Feel me, touch me, and all of these types of things. We understand that. But what I'm saying to you, he had to come back to prove to everyone that he was. And we know, but the Bible says that John believed right then. What I'm saying was not only was he teachable, he was receptive, but he was someone to believe. See, when you lean on Jesus, it don't take nobody to convince you what Jesus said. You know what I'm saying? That he said it, I believe it, I receive it, I'm going to run with it. Amen. He was receptive to Jesus. Everything Jesus said, John picked it up. You know what I'm saying? He was teachable. These were the characteristics that he had. We also seen that he was a quick learner. He was spiritually minded. But not only that, he had a love for his teacher. He had a love for Jesus. You know what we talked about last week with when those folks, when they were over there and they didn't receive him over in Samaria. John said, call down fire from heaven and burn them up. Amen. But it's because he had a love for his Lord and Savior, and because they did not receive his ministry. And then there was a group of people that was ministering out there, and they were doing signs, wonders, and miracles. And John said, we got to stop them. Jesus said, no, don't stop them, because they're doing the work that they're doing. They're with us and not against us. But John done those things out of the sheer love that he had for his teacher, for his leader, amen, for his servant. John loved his teacher. There was no doubt about it. And not only that, John was the one that was tender towards everyone else. Now, Peter put his foot in his mouth on a regular basis. And really, Peter was away from the Lord because he had denied him. He told you, you're going to deny me three times. He done it. But we know what happened, as we talked about last week. When they came back and they went back to fishing, when Peter went back to fishing and the rest of the disciples, they said that no one knew. They seen Jesus was standing on the shore, and no one knew it was Jesus. Except this is what happened. Then John had to tell Peter, there go Jesus standing over there. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that when you're someone that is near, that is leaning on Jesus, you know him when he shows up. Oh, God, you know him wherever you go. You know he in the place. Amen. You know that about him. So we want, in 2014, what we're desiring as a church and as a people of God, we want to draw closer. We want to get near, amen, unto Jesus. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I just don't want to be here. I want to be near. Amen. It's one thing to come to church. Amen. Hallelujah. But we want to be near Jesus. We want to worship him and those things there. Now, we understand also, I want to just open this up a little bit, because this word lean does not only just deal with reclining. Leaning really deals with depending upon. To depend upon someone. So when we say that we're going to lean on Jesus, the practical terms of what we're saying is that we're going to depend upon him. And we want to depend upon Jesus. Now, Hebrews 3:1, I didn't have the scripture, but go over there with me. Hold your place here, because we're coming back in the Gospel of Matthew. Hebrews 3. And I promise you, we're going to come back and we're going to get on that text. Hebrews. That's right, Hebrews. You don't brew. Hebrews. Hebrews 3. Are you there? When you get to 3, look at 1, because I want to talk about this depending upon Jesus just briefly here before we move forward into the text that the Lord has given unto us. 3:1 says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That means that we're, somebody say salvation. We know the three calls in the house of God. What? The heavenly call is salvation, right? The holy call is what? Sanctification. That means I got to be holy. After I get saved, I move towards being holy. Somebody say holy. Holy. Amen. Look, say holy. Holy. Yeah. We just don't want to be saved, but we want to live holy lives. So the heavenly call, the holy call, and then the high call is what? Somebody say sonship. That means maturity. That means we're growing up. So when you, the bread of life, what we desire to do, that no matter where people come in at, amen, with God, that we want them to grow up. We want them to move from the heavenly call, the holy call, and the high call. Now, it's interesting here that the writer in Hebrews, what he is saying here, he is saying now, right here, he says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, and this salvation. What he's saying here, right at salvation, you need to know that you need to lean on Jesus. Whatever you was leaning on before you met Jesus, you need to lean on Jesus. Look what he's saying here. He says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly call, consider. That means to ponder, to pay attention to. He says, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, or our confession, Christ Jesus. Look at 2. Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Look at 3. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who have built the house have more honor than the house. So you see what the writer is doing here. He says, now, all of you that have been born again, all of you that are saved, you're saved if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Raise your hand. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. Amen. Praise God. We got everybody saved in here. All right. Now, he says, now, if you're saved, consider the apostle and the high priest, amen, of your profession. Now, then he goes down there. He says, now, he was faithful. He was more faithful than Moses was. He's saying Moses was faithful in the house, but Jesus was faithful over the house. And I've taught you about the book of Hebrews. The key word in the book of Hebrews is better. And so the writer of Hebrews is telling them, look, what y'all guys got to understand, he's telling the Jewish people, look, that Jesus is better. He's better than what? They say he's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He talks about it. He says he's better than the angels. He's better than the Levitical priesthood. He's better than all of that. He's better than Moses. He is better. Somebody say Jesus is better. See, I'm going to show you some things that we are all leaning on, because all of us got a bent and a slant towards something or someone. But what I'm saying to you, look, it's time, amen, to break that little stuff and lean completely on Jesus. I mean to lean completely on Jesus. This is what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about having your stuff still over here. I'm talking about leaning. This is why the guy is talking to them about you don't go back to what you're in. No, consider him. This is why the writer further in Hebrews says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of thy faith. He said, you got to continue to look upon Jesus. When you get saved, you got to keep your eyes on him. Amen. You got to keep your eyes on him. So I want us to understand here that as we move forward today, that when we're talking about learning to lean here, is that we're talking about being dependent upon him. See, that's one thing to be near, but if I'm going to get near someone, I'm going to be dependent upon them. I guarantee you, anybody that you got near to your life, that you're close to, that you're talking to on a regular basis, you're dependent upon them. And one way, you might not even know it, but some form, shape, form, and fashion, you're dependent upon them. So no matter what's closest to you, you're going to be dependent upon it. Amen? Now, so let's look at this here. Go back over with me to the text where we're going to be at, Matthew chapter 11, and we're going to deal with that here in a few minutes. But I want us to understand that this leaning is also a dependency, that we are depending upon Jesus, that we want to be not just here, but we want to be near him. And our nearness is saying that we're dependent upon him. We're going to be like John. We're going to be receptive. We're going to believe everything that he has to say. We're going to love our teacher. Amen. We're going to love the brethren. Amen. This was all out of the relationship that he had with Jesus. First of all, he reciprocated the love that came from Jesus back to Jesus. Jesus wants us to love him. Why do you think we got saved? Why do you think we got saved? Amen. To love him. So Jesus wants us to love him. So we reciprocate that particular love. And then we reflect the same love. It's the L I was talking about. Somebody put up the L sign. The L sign. That's not a gang sign. That's an L sign. Amen. That's the L sign. See, that's love. First of all, we reciprocate the love that comes from God to us. We give it back to God. God, that's why we say we love you, Lord, with all our heart. This is the Shema of Israel. Israel, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. And so we see that here. And then the other L going this way is that we love, that we reflect this love now. And we reflect that out towards other people. Amen. I always say this, whoever you pray to and whoever you pray for, you're going to be intimate with them. You need to hear this. So if I'm praying unto the Father, amen, that's who I pray to in Jesus' name. But when I pray to the Father, I form an intimate relationship with him. And whoever I pray for, this is why the Bible says pray for your enemies. So you pray for them. They may be your enemy, amen, in their minds, but you love them with the love of the Lord. And he'll turn the heart of the enemy, amen, because you're going to love him. I'm telling man, perfect love casts out all fear, amen. Sometimes we fear our enemy, but if you pray for your enemy, that fear going to go. And you're going to move in love. Amen. And so this is what we're talking about when we're leaning on Jesus. What we're talking about here is we're talking about leaning into the love. Amen. To the love that he gives us, because love is what we need. Love is what the world needs. I'm telling you, everybody needs some love, man. That girl that got shot this morning, amen, somebody shot her because I guarantee you it was a love situation. The love was jacked up. And the brother told me, Brother Eric told me, he told me the story. He said, Pastor, you know what the story was? It says that the man was upset with his girlfriend or wife or whoever and ran out the house and turned back around and shot the gun up through the house. And it killed the girl this morning, 10, 11 years old, because there was a love problem. You hear what I'm saying? A love issue. When you love someone, that type of behavior does not go down. Amen. So I wanted to share these things for us to understand that over in Hebrews, where we were at, the writer is convincing us that after you get saved, that you need to consider the apostle and high priest of your confession, who is faithful. Moses was faithful in the house, but he is faithful over the house. Amen. He's faithful. He is better. Amen. Somebody say, Jesus is better. I don't care. You can put that. You can't put anybody in front of him. Jesus is better. I'm telling you. He better than Muhammad. I mean, he better than all of them. You can line them up. He better than that. And he's better than anybody in your family as well. Oh, God. Yeah. See, because some of us are leaning on our families. And I know some family members say, I'm tired of you leaning on me. I need you to lean on Jesus. I need you to lean on the same Jesus that I'm leaning on. So the reality is this, as I mentioned earlier, all of us are leaning on something or someone, and we all need these support systems in our lives. But the problem with our support systems is many times is that they take precedence over the Lord. Amen. And the Lord wants to be number one. Somebody say preeminent. Yeah, he wants preeminence, amen, in your life. What he's saying is, I want to be number one and number one alone. Yeah, look, now you start over with everybody else, but I'm number one and I want to be number one in your life. So this is what leaning on Jesus is about. Now, as I was preparing this, I said, Holy Spirit, give me some things that the reality that all of us are leaning on some things. Give me some reality of some of the things that we're leaning on as a people in the natural that we're living on. One of the things he dealt with was family ties. Some of us are leaning upon, again, family members more than we need to be. Amen. Some of us are leaning on our children. Some of us are, and it's okay for our children to lean on us. Think about that now. They're supposed to lean on us, amen, but we're bringing them up in the ways and the admonition of the Lord so that they can what? Lean on Jesus for themselves. Now, they ain't supposed to lean on us for the rest of their lives, amen. They lean until we get them some understanding, and they need to be leaning on the Lord. So this is the secret, parents. The secret of parenthood is this. As soon as you can get your kids leaning on Jesus, you're going to have some peace in your household. Yeah, you got to get them and teach them that they got to lean on Jesus. So we're talking about learning to lean. I should have said learning to lean on Jesus, because we don't want to just lean on anybody, but learning to lean on Jesus. Amen. This is what we're going to do. So I see the family ties. And so many times we think of family ties can also have soul ties involved in them. You know what I'm saying? Well, we're so tightly tied to them, and you know, we don't stop trusting in God. Amen. They doing foolishness and stuff, and we done lost our mind in this situation. But again, family ties. I'm not going to dwell on that too much. I remember when I was coming up. boy, I would lean on my grandmas. Did I lean on them, boy? And grandma, y'all know my story. If I needed some money, and I was up college age, I should have had my own job. You know what I'm saying? I shouldn't have had grandma. Grandma over in her senior years, you know, she just laying back, man, you know, loving the Lord. And I would tell grandma, I need some money. I need a little bit of money to go to the club. I need a little club money. Grandma, I didn't tell her I needed some club money. She knew what I need. Grandma would be flat broke. But I see grandma put that trench coat on, button it up, and she run right around there to Miss Maul Jones, because Miss Maul Jones was stacked. You hear what I'm saying? And I knew she cut that corner going to Maul Jones, brother. I knew I had some money coming back. Now, you know what happened. You know she had to, she straightened me out and talked to me harsh and all that, and then just give me that money. But you see what I was doing, we had moved to abuse. I was abusing this situation. You know what I'm saying? And it's the same way that if we don't understand some things, instead of leaning upon Jesus, we don't lean on our family members too much, man. They tired of you, amen? They really are. And they really want us to have trust in the Lord for our own selves. Amen, for ourselves. And so this is important to us. So that's one support system. Another support system is false religion. your false religion, where we depend upon people and it get perverted. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm going, you send me some money, I'm going to send you this word. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Perverting the way of God. You know what I'm saying? It could be false thing, but not only that, it can go to the dark side. You a child of the King. Amen. You love the Lord, but every week on certain day, you looking over there looking for your zodiac. Oh, Cancer. Yeah. What are they saying about me today? You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? See, that's false. That's false type of stuff. You're leaning on that thing. The zodiac sign. I don't know what they're working with now. Tarot cards or whatever, you know. I read a thing. I had someone to come and ask me the other day at work last week. This is what they asked me. They said, "Is there something wrong with a Christian using tarot cards?" Yeah. And so they were. You know how people coming to you on the behalf of somebody else. You know how those things go. Yeah. I like those. It ain't me, but it's somebody else. You know that I'm trying to minister to. So since you're the preacher. And so I dealt with him with tarot cards, and I told him, I said, well, let's go get some information. And so we dealt about this thing. And he says, this only person, they only use tarot cards when it comes to relationships. So this man was telling me that a woman was using this so that she can, she go to a tarot card reader to determine relationships, the right man, when a man come in her life, and all of those types of things. I said, man, that's straight up from the devil, brother. I said, that's witchcraft, man. I said, that ain't the Lord. I said, that ain't the Lord. I said, you just go on and tell her that. Amen. That's not of the Lord. And she's a Christian? I said, yeah. I said, brother, she's opening up the door to darkness into her life. And she better close that door and repent of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so what I'm saying is when things are not working the way we want them to work, sometimes we start leaning on some of these other support systems that we have. That's why we got to get rid of them. You know what I'm saying? That's why they got to have their place. Amen. What I'm saying is you don't get rid of your family. See, because you know, you remember how Jesus Christ said? Jesus Christ said, now if you're going to follow me, you got to hate. That's a strong word. Now, we know what he wasn't talking about, you know, hating them in a sense to get away. He was saying he was putting a dividing line between them and him. What he's saying is you got to love me more than you love your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your husband, and your wife. And he said, if you don't love me like that, you cannot be my disciple. You can't. And so John was a disciple, a pupil, a follower, a learner. So you can't learn him. You can't lean towards him if you're leaning towards them. That's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about learning to lean. Amen. Now that we've been saved, now we got to, amen, we got to lean on them now. Because the same person that saved you is going to keep you. Again, the author and the finisher of your faith. So we see here some other things. I'm going to go through these legal and financial entities. Credit cards. Well, what you talking about, Pastor? What I'm saying is, look, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus is right there. But no, I got these credit cards. They all maxed out, 29%. Amen. They're calling me every week. You see what I'm saying? You're leaning on the wrong thing. You're out of balance. You're way over here. You see what I'm saying? See, we don't think about these things. See, but when you're leaning like that and you're all out of balance because you want to do this, that, and the other, that's not God. And then you believe in God to pay off your credit card bill. Now, God said, be obedient, amen, with that which you have. Amen. You got to learn how to do without, amen. Oh, my God. Okay, I ain't going to get too many shots on that, amen. How about, look, I'm telling you where I've been, amen, amen. And cause when you start leaning like that and them boys, look, man, it becomes like a taskmaster. You said you get tied up in that thing right there. You're paying $300 and you got financing charges of $185. You know what I'm saying? You tied in a loop unless you got some big money coming in. And that's what you believe in God for. I'm waiting for my ship to come in so I can pay this credit card off. That's what you had. Amen. But no, he said, you don't need to lean in that direction. You're on the wrong system. How about the check cashing place? Let me run on down here and get my check cash today because I need it. I realize I got to have it right now. I got to have it right now. Now, hold up. What do you mean you got to have it right now? See, you want it right now, and they're going to take some for you right now because you want it right now. It really speaks to what you're dependent upon. It really speaks to what you're leaning on. If your life is that messed up where you, when you get it, you got to go get it, there's something wrong. You're leaning on the wrong person. On the wrong situation. How about those rent-to-own situations? I'm going to rent this thing to our owner. Man, that, man, you've been bamboozled, amen? You're going to pay three or four times for you own that thing, man. And more than likely, when you get in that rent, the owner situation, they're coming to get it anyway. Somewhere along the way, they're going to come on and pick it up. Okay, how about government entities? Oh, I know I'm really going to hit some folks right now. See, there's one thing for short-term benefits, but it's a sad thing when those short-term benefits turn into long-term benefits. I had someone to tell me one time, I said, well, where you working at now? And this is what they told me. They said, well, sure, I'm not going to look for no job as long as Obama paying our unemployment the way he paying our unemployment. So that, see, that right there told me exactly where they were at. You're leaning. Are you leaning on Obama? Are you leaning on the government? Who you leaning upon? That thing is, that look, that thing is for, it's not, it's a hand, you know, this thing is, it's really to help you to get up. It's not a handout. I mean, you start getting on that government entity for that handout, you'll never get up. You'll never be who God called you to be. You know what I'm saying? It's okay for a season if you got a reason to be there for a season. But you don't want to be laying over in that thing. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying, these are all things where a handout, amen, has turned, or a hand up has turned into a handout. Now, this last one is very interesting here before we move on. There's many more of them out there, but I think this is the most dangerous thing that can keep you from leaning upon Jesus. And it's three people, and it's called me, myself, and I. Amen. When ain't nothing else working, I'm going to work it. When ain't nothing else working, boy, when grandma ain't on her thing, when folks done, look, I done got it, now I'm going to go work it. And sometime that then you get illegal. You hear what I'm saying? You start moving, doing illegal stuff. Whatever I need to do, I sell a little bit of this, or sell a little bit of that, or do this and do that. But I'm going to get what I need to get. So what I'm saying unto you this morning is that we got to learn how to lean upon Jesus. Now, this is how I got there. I'm going to, and this may be, you might not have gotten there yet, but this is how you're going to get there. It's called life. Somebody say life. You live long enough, you're going to find out that this is what you'll find out about these things here. You live long enough, you're going to find out that your support system, check this out now, your support system that you have in place is not going to be able to sustain you. Just live long enough, amen? Just live long enough that support system will find its way being torn down here. See, again, this has to do with this support system taking precedence over our lives here. I had written something down. Oh, yeah, this is what I want to say this to you, and I said it one way, but I want to say it this way. Life is a journey, and it has a way of destroying our support systems, or our support systems destroying us. You see, life has a way that it would either destroy your support systems or it will cause your support systems to destroy you. Some of those things that I'm talking about, we get so dependent upon them, we'll never be who God calls us to be because of the support system. And what I'm saying to you is that we got to learn how to lean on Jesus. Amen. And this is what we're dealing with today. And so you're in the text of Scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We find ourselves here because perhaps some of you are asking the question, why haven't I arrived at my planned destination for my life? You may be asking, why am I still dealing with the same issue in my life, going around the same mountain and the same molehill? You may be asking, why can't I just be obedient to the things of the Lord? Or you may be asking, when am I going to get through what I'm going through? Amen. The season that is within your life. And so what I want to say to you is this, is that we do have seasons in our lives. We do have high places and low places. I've come to learn if I get too much sunshine, my life will become a desert. If I get too much rain, my life will become a swamp. Amen. I understand that there is a valley between two high places. Mother, when I had my high time in life, guess what? The valley is coming. But I thank God David penned it this way. David said, this is how David said, amen. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Amen. Thy rod and thy staff, they do what? They comfort me. That, you know what David was saying? David said, I'm going through pure hell right now. And he wasn't doing it as a baby. He was mature. He was the king of all of Israel. And he was on the run from his son. His son was chasing him. And he was on the go. Look, when someone that you think that you're supporting and they're supporting you, see, the support system was destroyed. The very system, amen, that he was dependent on was now trying to destroy his life. And he was on the go. But he pinned that thing. Yes, he did. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You say, he said, I shall not want. Y'all don't want me to go with the Psalms 23. But you hear what he said. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he understood. He was the king of all of Israel. And he went through hell to get up there, to get to the place that he was at. But then he came down on the run from his son. On a run from his son. I mean, you think about David. David was one of those boys that was always on the run. King Saul was on him when he was a young man. Over there in the, you know, in the cave of Adullam, he was on the run from King Saul here. But David was one of those that trusted in the Lord here. So I want us to see this. When we learn or lean on Jesus and learning to trust him, he brings us through our pain. He brings us through our setbacks, our disappointments, our heartaches, the sorrow that we experience in life. So why does he do that? Why does he allow us to go through what we go through? Because he need us to teach other people to lean on Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So you got to be happy about this thing that whatever you're going through is only for a season. Now, I said this a couple weeks ago because this someone has shared this with me. It was so profound. They say you can't pray your way out of a season. Think about that. You just got to wait for the season to end. Now you can pray. I'm not saying don't pray, because you're praying and depending and leaning upon him while you're going through. But what I'm saying to you, look, it's just going to take some time, but you're going to come out of that thing. You know what I'm saying? And you're coming out per go. Amen. You're coming out clean. You're going to come out. It's all going to work together for the good for those that are called, those that love him and are called according to his purpose. You see the love connection. Everything is connected to love. Everything is connected to love. Even when you fall, I think about David. When David fell over there in Psalm 51, man, David said, create in me a clean heart. You want to know why? Because it was a love issue. See, when you sin against God. Amen. See, that's what, my honey sinned on me. I sit folk down. We counsel them all the time. And they wonder why their mate sinned on them or committed. And they did. They sinned on them. They committed adultery up on them. But what we come to realize and what it's hard to get folks to understand sometimes is that truly they sinned against God. That's what happened. They sinned against God. They sinned. They did what they did against you because they really didn't have a relationship with God. So we can't fix y'all until we fix them. Because he'll never love you the way that he loves you, because the way that he needs to love you is the way that God loves him. He needs to reciprocate, amen, and reflect that love there. So as many instances when people sin and go doing what they're doing, it's because they done separated themselves with God. Now, you know my favorite. I tell you what. I told you, I'm going back to the conference in a couple of weeks. About 3 years ago, man, my life was all confused. And I was like, what's going on? You know, even in the midst of ministry and everything, I'm like, what in the world going on? And my pastor was preaching, and he was preaching about being backslidden. Man, he was laying that thing down. He says, some people have done slid back from God. You know, and when you slide back, he said, this is the danger. If you don't get back, you will turn your back. And when you turn your back, it's over. I'm talking about, I mean, you need deliverance. See what I'm saying? See, there's things that we do that separate us from God. All of us that we do. But the key thing about it is, he says, like, if you confess your sins, if you confess it, you mind? He going to forgive us, and he going to clean me. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so. But if I don't do that, I'm making more and more separation. And so this is what I'm doing, you know. I'm doing the back. I'm sliding back. But somewhere along the way, if I slide too far away, sooner or later, I'm going to do this, turn my back. And when I turn my back, I done made a commitment now to go with something that's, you see, I'm leaning on something else now. See, when you're leaning on Jesus, you don't want to get to, see, it's hard to lean and slide back. You know, now leaning is this way. You know, you can't lean and slide back. Amen. So when we're leaning on Jesus, it's always a forward type of thing. It's a reclining thing. I'm comfortable in this thing when I'm leaning on Jesus. But when you find yourself just going back a little bit, little bit, you better get back to him. Because if you don't get back to him, you're going to turn your back. So when my pastor was preaching that thing, man, it came to me. I said, I'm backslidden. That's what I said. I did. I came. I said, I done slid back. And then turn my back in some ways to the Lord. And I said, boy, I got to get back. Amen. I remember the meeting was over with me, and I went home. We were staying in the hotel, and I said, well, I didn't want to disturb my wife because she was in there. She was in the room where the carpet was at. Brother, I had to go in there, man, and I got all over that tile in that bathroom, though. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't worried about no knees. I got up in there. I like to crawl into the bathtub. I said, Lord, look, I repent. Amen. And clean me, oh, Lord. And then I remember what David said. Creating me a clean heart, oh, God. Renew a right spirit on the inside of me. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. That's what I felt. And God brought me into remembrance of David there. But David was a man after God's own heart. And so I want us to understand this. Now, we're going to look at this text, and we're going to roll out of here pretty quick. You're at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 here. Amen. We can shut this thing down. I ain't got me enough. Amen. Matthew 11, verse 28 here. Because we're talking about learning to lean, and that we've all realized that we're all leaning on something. We all got some support system that we done set up in our lives. I might have listed them off, or you might have some more. Amen. But we all got something that we're leaning and dependent upon. And what Jesus Christ is saying through his disciple John, amen, is that we want to be a disciple whom Jesus loved. And that was one that leans upon Jesus. We want to be, look, man, I always like to tell folks, look, I don't care who it identifies me with or separates me from. I'm going with Jesus. You hear what I'm saying, man? I'm going with Jesus. So let's take a look at this here. He says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm going to give you three things, and we're going to run out of here how to lean upon Jesus. The first thing is acknowledge that you have a need for him. Acknowledge that you have a need for Jesus. Look what Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. See, when you are labor and a heavy laden, you don't move. There's no more excitement about life. You know, life is laborious. This thing is weighing me down. You living for Jesus, but you weighing down and you're dragging. You don't want to get up and go to work. You don't want to do life. Don't even want to go to church any longer. Amen. Life has become laborious, and this is why he says, "Come unto me." Look, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden. And what's happening here is really you done got on another support system. You done started leaning. You're no longer leaning on Jesus, because when you lean on Jesus, there's no stress, struggle, and strain with life. Oh, my God. Because this is the way he said. He says the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come. Well, yes, sir. To give you what? Life. And that what? More abundantly. Amen. So he comes to give you abundant life. So if your life ain't abundant, it has an indication that you're leaning in the wrong direction. Amen. You're leaning in the wrong direction. Amen. So when you're leaning in the wrong direction, in your pain and your misery and all your confusion and unbelief, all you got to do is acknowledge, amen, that I need him. That's all you got to do. How do I do that, Pastor? It's called prayer. Yeah, it's called prayer. We must have prayer lives. When I come to my time of prayer each day, when I come before the Lord, amen, I come acknowledging him. And I don't have time, but you can go over, because the disciple says, Lord, teach us to pray as what John taught his disciples to pray. When you pray, say, Our Father. We know that has to do with worship. And so we worship the Father. We worship him. But right after the worship of the Father, we said, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. So right after we worship God, we want God's plans and purposes to operate in the earth. And what I'm saying, God, use me however you want to use me. And then we ask him, give me this day my daily bread. Before you ask him for anything, you worship him and you tell him, I want your will to be done. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. See, I go through all of that before I even ask for what I want. But when I ask for what I want, I know it's lined up with his will, because I've worshiped him and I said, Father, bring heaven to the earth. Bring the future into the present. Amen. Bring the supernatural into the natural, Father. Let your kingdom come and your will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. And so this is our desire. So we must come to him in prayer. And he says, like, when you come praying, what he said? He said, go in the closet and shut the door. And he said, you ain't got to let nobody know you're praying, because I am a God who sees in the secret, in the dark. And if I see you in the secret, I'm going to reward you openly. Amen. So I'm saying there's some benefits to prayer. Somebody said there's benefits to prayer. We've already said it. Who you pray to, who you pray for, you become intimate with. What I'm saying to you, look what he says here. He says, now, come unto me, all you that are labored and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Somebody say rest. See, that rest here deals with the salvation. It deals with to refresh you. Anytime you go into God, oh God, I know this to be true. It could be all jacked up, all busted up. But if I can just get to my prayer place, if I can get to my spot with the Lord, see, there's one thing for me to get to my prayer spot. Sometimes I come to my prayer spot, just depends on what's going on. It's already hot. All I got to do is step in it. It's already on. But there's other times that I got all this stuff on my mind, all this stuff fighting me. Amen. I got to get there. See, I'm here, but then I got to get near. Oh, man. I got to break through. Now I start praying in my natural. Then I pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And before I know it, I'm no longer in the earth. I'm up in heaven, seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints. This is why it says, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of your profession or your confession. You know why? Because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Everything that you are saying, he's saying to Daddy. He's saying to Daddy. And so I get into a place now, I'm seated in heavenly places with him. I'm near to him. I'm telling him, I'm telling the Father in Jesus' name. He's backing it up. He's backing it up. Say, yeah, back it up. You know what I'm saying? Because you got to get when you lean on Jesus. See, so you got to acknowledge that you need him. I need him. If I'm going to lean on Jesus, I got to acknowledge that I'm leaning. Because I'm living a hard life. I'm all tangled up and confused. Things ain't going the way they're supposed to be going. I'm obviously leaning on the wrong thing. I got to lean on Jesus. And when you lean upon him, you're going to get some rest. I'm telling you, every time. I never go to the Lord and don't come out of that thing feeling better. Amen. Got a different slant and situation on it, because he gives me rest. And that word rest right there is refreshment. He comes and refreshes me. Oh my God. When you come before the Lord, man, he refreshes you. He refreshes you. And he said, get on back in the fight. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Get on back in the fight, boy. Get on back down there in the fight. See, the thing about it is, when you acknowledge that you need him, he ain't pulling you out. Nah, you pulling him in. Oh, my God. You hear what I'm saying? He coming in the midst of it now. That's what prayer is about. I'm petitioning the Lord. The Bible tells us over in 1 Timothy, what we call the apostolic order of prayer. He says, first, let there be supplication. That's not. Supplication is praying what God wants. Then he says, let there be prayers, supplication, prayers, and then intercessions. Amen. Then he talks about, then let there be thanks be made for. So, but think about it. This is the order of it. Anytime you go to God, first of all, you got to give him the glory. You can't just go in there bankrupt, you know, go in there, I want this, give me my name, Jimmy. Nah, you can't go that way. You got to acknowledge that he is God, and that you love him, and that you worship him. Amen. That you adore him. Even if you are away from him, you got to be able to talk about that type of thing. And you could talk to him just like you talk. I mean, just go into him just like you are. And then so when we go, we got to go and let him know and acknowledge, God, I need you. I need you more than yesterday. I need you more than words can say. I need you more. I need you more. I need you more than the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than the next heartbeat, more than anything. And Lord, as the days go by, I'll be by your side, 'cause I never want to go back to my old life. I need you more. See, we can't go back. Go back to what? Go back to who? You mean, I don't want to go back. Amen. We don't want to go back. Oh, can I get my glasses there? I need those. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to, when we're talking about going to acknowledge something, I talked about David and what he did. But you remember the story of the widow woman with the unjust judge? When she went, see, I'm talking about you got to acknowledge him that you need him. When she was trying to tell this judge, get these rascals off of my back. They sweating me. I'm a widow. And they want this, they want that, another. Get them off of my back. And the widow kept going to the unjust judge. And the unjust judge was like, my God. The Bible says that he did not fear God or had no respect for man. Or had no respect for man and didn't fear God one of the way. Well, both of them. He didn't care about man nor God. But the Bible says she kept because she was wearing him out. Amen. He gave her. He told her. Yeah, he released her or released them people to leave her alone. And the Bible says that the Bible responded in this way. That says, now, if an unjust judge would do that for a widow woman, how much more will a heavenly Father do that for them that call upon them? And the Bible says he'll do it speedily. I mean, he'll move right then. If our heart is right about it, you know, he'll move right then. I believe angels will be released right then. If our heart is right about it. And he knows our hearts. Yeah, he knows if you're coming with your game. He knows that. Amen. He knows everything about us. And so what I'm saying until you acknowledge that you need him. The second thing, because he's going to give you rest. He'll give you rest. The second thing we see here, look at verse 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find what? Rest unto your souls. The second thing is you got to receive everything he got to offer. I mean, receive. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That he said, now receive everything he has offered. He says, now take my yoke upon me. This indicates that one, that you labor for one, or that you're in service of another when you yoke up with someone. We know they were talking about yoking oxen here, but he was talking about you could take the natural of the yoking oxen, and he said, now I want you to yoke up with me. And we know that with the oxen, there's what they call a lead ox and then the other ox. One ox is always a little stronger than the other one. And you must always understand Jesus is always strong. You know what I'm saying? So we're yoking up with him now. We're talking about learning to get near Jesus, learning to lean on Jesus. He says, take my yoke. Now, what he's saying is the yoke that you're currently under, the system that you're currently working, the thing that's giving you the frustration and stuff, he's saying, get off that system and come and yoke up with me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what you're saying, Pat, what I'm saying to you is once you acknowledge that you need him, then you got to have the heart say, look, I want everything that Jesus got to offer. I want everything, whatever it is. I want everything that Jesus has died for me to have. I want it all. Amen. You got to have that. You can't mix his stuff with your old stuff. No. You got to shed that off. It's like the cloth he said that it'd be torn. Amen. The old garment with a new garment. Amen. No. You got to say, look, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things and pass away, and what? All things have become new. So I'm not trying to mix the old with the new. Amen. I want mine new. I want but I want everything that he has to offer me. Now, when you get everything he has to offer you, look like it says. It says, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, for I am meek and lowly. Now, he's telling you how his yoke is. He says, take my yoke, and then he says, learn of me. Somebody said, go to school. See, when learning environment is always a school environment. So he says, take my yoke. This is why the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. So you got to go to school. So if you want everything that he has to offer, you got to understand what he got to offer by looking in here. Amen. So you got to open up the word of God. So we see this. He says, for learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So he's telling you what his yoke is like versus the yoke that you're under. And you shall find what? Rest unto your souls. Now, what I like about this is the other one was more of a refreshment. This type of rest here is like an intermission and a recreation. See, this one over here was for salvation. This one over here is for service. What I'm saying, I'm not just living for the Lord, I'm working for the Lord. I'm doing the will of God now for my life, amen? And so when I do that, when I take his yoke, because what was happening, you was, whoever you was leaning upon and depending upon, they were working you with that yoke they had you upon. You know what I'm saying? If it was finance charges, if it was somebody telling you to do something that was not right based on the favor that they done for you, whatever it was, you were up under a yoke, and it was a burden. But he says, now get up under my yoke. And that now, first of all, come to me is salvation, and I will give you rest. Amen. That's a refreshment. But the second type of rest, he says, take my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're yoking up with me. Now you're walking with me. Oh, God, not with them, but with me. And I want you to do the. This is how Jesus said. He says, I am the bread of life. That's what, hence, bread of life, church. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes in me shall never what? Thirst. And then over John 8 and 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He says, they that come after me, amen, shall not walk in darkness, but shall walk what? In the everlasting light. Amen. So when we yoke up with him now, we're going what? With him. He's going to feed me. He's going to give me. This is why he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Right. Who is his righteousness? Jesus is his right. And in his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Take no thought saying. See, everybody is texting you. You might be thinking about it, but you better not say it, because he says, take no thought saying. That's what the enemy wants you to do. He wants to put them thoughts up in your head. And if he can get you to say it, amen, this is why your confession, you got to have your confession. You got to know what you're saying, man, because the death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that eat it will eat, but they that love it will eat the fruit thereof, amen. When you send it out, it can't come back. It's the went out. So you got to train your mouth and your tongue to say what God is saying. Amen. Because Jesus is the apostle and high priest is watching over your profession. Amen. And he's going to watch over every word that you speak. I like to tell folks all the time, we got to start having these straight line prayers. Straight line prayers are prayers that go out. And that's all they do is go out. Now, our prayers got to go up, amen? And you got to start praying the word of God over your situation, because that's what he said. He watches over his word to do what? To perform it. He's going to watch over his word here. So we acknowledge this thing that this first type of rest is salvation. Get off of that system. Now you're saved. Now that you're saved, yoke up with me, because my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn of me. Amen. And then he says, now when you're with me, I'm going to give you rest. I'm getting ready to give you recreational rest. You know what I'm saying? What I'm saying is just in the midst of God, I believe it's like this. While we're serving the Lord, we take some time out to give him some praise. And then we serve him some more, take some more time out. It's a recreational type of rest when you're going with the Lord, because it's no stress, struggle, and strain when you're living for the Lord. When you're living for the Lord, and then when you live for the Lord, you want to serve him. You want to serve him. And this is what we want. The last one here, and we're going to close right here. Thank you, sister. Amen. My wife, I tell Pastor Angela, I had to get somebody to stand there for you there with my glasses. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get laser surgery or something. Somebody lay hands on me. Amen. This thing going to get straight here. Amen. I can believe them for it. Amen. Shut. Amen. They breaking up anyway, man, you know. Yes, sir. Verse 30 here, and this is where we're going to close. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I've said it and quoted it many times this morning. And what I'm saying here is the third thing is, first, acknowledge that you had a need, that you need him through prayer. Receive everything that he has to offer. And lastly, serve the Lord with all your heart. Serve the Lord with all of your heart. When we're talking about learning to lean upon Jesus, we're talking about, if you understand the context of what this was about, he was dealing with them being on that Levitical priesthood upon the law, and he was telling you, man, as long as you stay on that system there, boy, it's going to be attacked. The Pharisees going to treat you a certain way. The Sadducees going to treat you a certain way. A religious type of thing. He says, now get off of that and come and yoke up with me. Come and get in on the grace of God. Come and get on what, not what you work for. Come and get what you really don't even deserve. But because I died and went to the Father, amen, and redeemed, amen, all of mankind, you can get in on this thing. But the only way you can get in on it is that you got to yoke up with me. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except he come by me. And so Jesus saying, yoke on up with me, man. You do this thing. Come into me. Get saved. And when you get saved, he said, I want you to come on in here and take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Receive everything that I got. And then he's saying, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Serve me for the rest of the days. I believe it was David that said, I've been young and I've also been old. My goodness, David said this thing. He says, I never seen the righteous forsaken, neither their what? See begging bread. When we are obedient to God, when we lean on Jesus, not only does it bless us, it blesses the generations behind us. My children's children, my children and their children's children are going to be blessed simply because I made a decision to lean on Jesus. Amen. We have something to close on the song. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's put our hands together and honor God and give him praise. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray that you were the better for coming to the house of the Lord and hearing what thus said the Spirit of the living God. Amen. We're going to learn to lean on Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We got a song and then we're going to close. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.